moment. I have to tell you, God is always God. He doesn't change. He's not like the weather. He isn't coming and going. He's not like the government. He isn't up one day and down the next. He's God all the time. But there is a moment in time that the greatness of God is going to be so manifested. Let's read the scripture and then look at it. Beginning in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and 32. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all of the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And then from Revelation. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His word. And thanks be unto God for the great truth of the gospel. And you have to think about how great is our God. Just how great is He? How powerful is He? How awesome is He? How much does He encompass? Well, the truth is, my friend, that God is omniscient. That means He knows everything there is to know. Yeah. And He's omnipresent. That means He's present everywhere at the same time, as much one place as He is another. Psalmist said, if I made my bed in hell, He'd be there. And He's omnipotent. And you say, what does that mean? That means He's got all the power in heaven and in earth. He has a monopoly on power. He's got more power than the splitting of the atom or the breaking of a hydrogen bomb or anything else. He is the Almighty God, and when its Scripture calls Him the Almighty, then you have to recognize that there's nothing left. He is the Almighty God. And when you look at Him, I'm amazed at times. I can't express what I actually see in God. I don't have the words. I don't have the capacity to say what I think and what I feel and what I see in God. God is something else. In one word, God spoke, and every form of plant life that there is on this planet started to exist. In one word, God spoke, and every form of animal life on this planet started to exist. In one word, God spoke, and every fish and thing that goes in the sea and every bird in the air came into existence all at once, just by speaking it. And then God gets to the human body, and He creates human beings. Folks, anatomy is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing, because when you look at the way God has made this body, the miles and miles of blood vessels, the miles and miles of nerves, all the miles of the lymph system that's separate from the other, and all the things that's going on in the body at the same time, the reproductive system, the digestive system, the brain itself, that we've never, ever began to use up all that's in there. We have so much more capacity than what we actually use. And I am amazed at the greatness of God. It's just wonderful. And some of us have been, if you've been next to a volcano or where there are hot springs, where there are cracks in the earth, and there's some in Virginia, in Highland County, there's places where the hot water and the steam is coming out of the ground. If you happen to go through Yellowstone National Park out west, you see the great fountains of water coming up, springs of colored water, really making all kinds of beautiful colors boiling up out of the ground. And then you go to Hawaii and you see volcanoes erupting, or even in America they erupt. I look at the structure under the earth and the plates crashing together, creating earthquakes and all those things. God is a great God. I mean, He is just something else. And when I look at all of the creation, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. And then when I consider within the scope of human history, now you have to understand that when we start talking about 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 years, man, we're just out of our league. We're just talking about something that is hard for us to conceive because, you know, we run our course in a little over 70 years and we come into this world and we go out. I despair of not having the time or the energy or the brain power to learn all the things I want to learn and all the things I want to know. There's just so much out there to know, so much to understand, so much to do. But when we think about that, think about this. God is eternal. This whole thing that we think is so long, the history of man, 6,000, 7,000 years, maybe 8,000 years if you stretched it a long way, we think that's a long time. And we think that, you know, that just, man, that's just terrible. When you're eternal, that's just a blip on the screen. 6,000, 7,000 years in eternity, what's that? I don't know how long what's going on's been going on. You say, do you doubt the scientists saying that rocks are millions of years old? No, I don't. Not for 1 minute. But I can tell you that for the last 6,000 or 7,000 years, there has been mankind as we know it. God created the earth, or at least recreated the earth, as a habitation for man. And when God created the earth and God made it for man, there was already a war going on. There was already a confrontation that had happened between good and evil. Satan, better known beforehand as Lucifer, the son of the morning, a great angel in charge of music and light and all kinds of things. This great archangel had convinced a third of the angels to join in with him. And you say, well, how many were a third of the angels? Well, I could tell you if I knew how many angels there were to start with. I have no clue how many angels there were or are, for that matter. And you say, well, what do you think? I don't think. I don't know. You don't know. No commentator knows. Nobody with a doctorate of theology or anything knows. Angels are created beings, and at some time, some place, the angels were created before the earth was. They were created before man was. They were created from the beginning of the earth. And we know, if we read from the book of Job, that when the Lord created the heavens and the earth as we know it today and laid out the Garden of Eden and everything, the sons of God shouted for joy. They rejoiced in the creation of God. And so the angels, the angelic sons of God, shouted for joy. Now there's been a battle raging sometime before we know anything about this. Scripture tells us that. And then here on this earth, that war has been consummated and fought through human beings. It was Satan's greatest triumph to slither into the Garden of Eden as a serpent and trick Mother Eve and Father Eve into obeying him and disobeying God and bringing sin and destruction on the human race. And well, so there's been this fight going on. And when I look at the mighty acts of God in this fight, I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed at creation. But I look back through the scriptures. You know, I see Joshua out there fighting a battle, and the day's not long enough to get the battle fought. And you know, he says, stop. And the whole universe stopped. The sun and the moon were visible that day, and everything stopped. You say, you believe that? Yes, I do. And in the days of Hezekiah, they said, the prophet was there talking to him, and they wanted to talk about what was going on. And they said, well, turn back, run the sundial up 15 degrees. Well, somebody said, that's not much of a thing. The day just went a little faster. So they said, all right, turn back the sundial 15 degrees. And so, my friends, the whole universe had to recalibrate to turn that thing back 15 degrees. God was there all the time. And when I look through the scriptures, I can find it just at a word. And amazing things that God did. And things that God did that he wasn't asked to do, that nobody prayed for him to do. I think about the time in war when a man was killed and they didn't have time enough to bury him or to dig a grave or to make a tomb. And somebody said, well, there's some room in the one that the prophet Elijah's in, so let's put him in the tomb. And so they popped open the door of the mausoleum and they put the man's body in there. And just before they closed it, when the man's body touched the dead body of Elijah, he came to life, got up out of the tomb, walked away. He was well. All of these things have been going on in the fight that's been going on. How great God is. What a terrible... Bill Gaither and Gloria wrote a song on the cross. There was a battle raging. And that's true. And you know, a lot of that battle was not visible outside. A lot of the battle that was raging on the cross was going on in the mind and in the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you have to understand, that man on the middle cross may have been God, but that man on the middle cross did not hang there as God. He hung there as a human being. And that man hanging on that middle cross was fighting a terrible battle. He was going through a terrible confrontation with the devil and with his own humanity and all that was going on. And you know, you say, oh, if I could just look out and from the perspective of God, I don't know if you could stand it or not. I don't know if you could stand looking out from the perspective of God or not. Because, my friend, it's tough enough on God to do it. And you say, what do you mean? Don't you hate being blamed for something you didn't do? Don't you hate that? What about carrying the sins of the whole world when you never committed even one itty-bitty sin? What about carrying all of that on your back, all of that guilt and all of that shame and all of that heartache and so undeserved, yet knowing, having prayed three times to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And the answer every time, say, God will never say no to you. Said no to his own son. Hello. Said no to his own son. Talked to his own son, asking three times to let that cup pass from him. And you know what the answer was? There's no other way. It's not possible for human beings to be saved any other way than through the death of a perfect sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And Jesus Christ, knowing the will of the Father, and somebody said, Jesus loved the world so much he died for. God the Father loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to die for it. And my friend, he hung on the cross, and that battle raged, and that horrible time went on, and the battle continues to rage today. John saw it in the book of the Revelation as a woman who had a child and caught in the act of childbirth in her moment of weakness when the child was brought forth. There was a great red dragon there ready to devour the child, and he cast out a flood of water to try to wash the child away, to try to destroy him from the earth. What horrible battles is going on. Great monsters rising from the sea and from the land, and horrible things going on. My brothers and sisters, when I look at this, I have to say, how great is our God? How great he is. And yet you say, there's a moment in time coming when God's greatness is going to be shown up even greater. God's greatest moment It's on the way, my friend. The greatest moment that God has had in all the universe and in anything, greater than making a sun, greater than making a moon, greater than making a solar system, greater than making a galaxy. My friend, there is coming a day when sinners, lost and undone without God, hundreds, millions, billions of sinners, lost and undone without God, some saved and some unsaved, some redeemed and some still under the curse of Satan, will all stand before the Almighty God. There is coming a day, hallelujah, there's coming a day when the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ His Son, God the Holy Ghost, the one eternal God, will sit on the throne of His glory in heaven. And before Him, all over the universe, there will be human beings standing. Every person that's ever lived, from Adam and Eve down to the last little baby that's born in this world, every human being from every continent and every age and every race and every creed and every color, my friend, every human being that ever lived, one day is going to stand in the presence of the Almighty God as He sits on the great white throne of His glory. And what a day that will be. What a time that will be. All those human beings standing before God and all of those human beings looking at their Creator for the first time, eyeball to eyeball and shoulder to shoulder and cheek to cheek. And there He sits, the God of the universe, the one that they crucified on Calvary's cross. My brothers and sisters, they look at Him as He sits there on the throne of His glory and His majesty, and He looks out over those people, and they begin to open the books. As Sister Gilmer used to say, they're recording angels. And I guess God does have somebody to write in the books, but the books are opened in heaven and they begin to roll out the scrolls. Anytime the Bible talks about books, don't talk about a bound book like that. They weren't invented yet. They didn't have a printing press. They did have scrolls, and they began to unroll the scrolls and to begin to undo the mysteries of the ages. And as they unroll the scrolls, they start looking down, and they look and they said, well, there's November the 11th, 1946. And by the way, my birth certificate's got my real name on it now. And November the 11th, 1946, Cincinnati, Ohio, 10:05 in the morning, there was Edward Dale Kendall born. He's a sinner. He's on his way to hell. He's lost and undone without God, and he can't go anywhere, and he has no way to make it. And he begins to live, and they go on down a little bit, and they look, and the angel says, looky here. There's the second Sunday of May, 1961. Look, there's his name again. He's been born again. His sins have been forgiven. He's whiter than snow. He's brand new. Record it, angel. Put it down. Eddie Kendall, the sinner, boy from Clendon and Holler, has been redeemed from among men and has been changed and is a new creature in Christ. And they look at that and they say, let him go in. My brothers and sisters, all of us human beings will be standing before the God of the universe. And all of us will be standing there, all of us looking at Him. And you know what? They open those books. And then there are those who are lost and those who are saved and those who are redeemed and those who haven't been redeemed. And there we all stand in dumbfounded silence before God. Can't say a word. Somebody said, I can only imagine. Will I dance? Will I do this? I don't know what all we'll eventually do. But in the beginning, the Bible said they couldn't make a sound. There's silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Not one peep can be made. Not one sound can be made in heaven, my friend. Why? Because the God of the universe has brought to an end all of the struggle and strife of the universe and of the cosmic universe and of the human beings. All the people of the universe have come to stand before God. Not only are the human beings standing there, my friend, but all of the millions, if not billions, of angelic beings that He's created are standing there, and all the beasts around the throne, and the Almighty God
sits on the throne of His glory, and His Son, Jesus Christ, with nail-pierced hands and feet and a spear-pierced side, is standing before the Father. And the Holy Ghost, like a rainbow, is all around. And all of the people are looking. Just judgment has been done. Justice has finally been done. It may not be done in Washington, and it may not be done in the United Nations, but on that day, my friend, justice will be done. And every human being stands before God, and every human being that's ever lived and ever will live is standing before God, and they've opened the books, and those that are lost must acknowledge their sins and acknowledge the justice and the judgment of God. And those who are saved must acknowledge the mercy and the greatness and the goodness of God. And as they look at all of that, they stand with gaping mouths. They cannot speak. The angelic choir cannot sing. The angelic orchestra cannot play their instruments. The drum rolls are not there. The lightning is not flashing. The thunder is not rolling. My friend, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father Almighty. My brothers and sisters, and I looked out over that crowd there, and there they stand. There they stand. All of the activity of the world has ceased. All of the activity has stopped. The armament plants and the bullet plants are no longer operating. The chemical plants that make the poisons that's going out into the universe are not there anymore. My friend, all of the activity has ceased. The generals have ripped the stars from their shoulders, and the tanks and the guns have gone into oblivion. My friend, the whole of humanity stands before their Creator on that great and glorious day, my friend, and it's quiet. It's quiet down to nothing. And then somewhere on the far reaches of there, the Ethiopian jumps up and bangs on a great big African drum. And he hollers, "Hallelujah!" And out over the crowd there comes a resounding voice. Every nation, kindred, and tongue says, "Hallelujah!" And the Irishman jumps up with his little whistle that he puts in his mouth and blows a little whistle. And he begins to say, "Glory to God!" And all the people of the universe join in the Irishman's talk, and they begin to say, "Glory to God." And it sounds like thunder rolling over and over again. It sounds like the waterfalls of Niagara falling over and over again. As every voice in the human race that's ever lived, in every language and from every color and from every place, my friend, that resounding voice surges up to the throne of God, and God is vindicated, my friend. Judgment has come and justice has been done. And my friend, the wondrous thing, the greatest moment in the history of God, and God's going to go around and brag about it forever. God's going to go around bragging about it forever. We used to laugh at my daddy sometimes because they'd say something about me, and Daddy would say something about it, and he'd say, "That's my boy. That's my boy." Always made you proud for him to say it. But think about it on that day, my friend. Think about it on that day. Look down in that crowd, and there stands an axe murderer who did some awful thing, but one day heard about the cross and came to Christ, and he saved his soul. And my friend, the Father looks down from that mighty throne in heaven and sees that old boy down there that did that horrible crime, and he's white as snow. He looks down, and there's a girl down there. She's been a prostitute down in the worst end of the city. She's just been as low as she can possibly get, and yet she looks down, and some little street preacher came along one day and prayed for her and laid his hand on her. And God saved her and turned her white as snow, and her sins are gone. And my friend, she stands up and she screams out a glory to God, and everybody in the universe claps her hands and joins with them. My friend, I'm convinced some little holy roller from Clinton about that time jumps up and says, I think it's about time we dance a little bit. And somebody from Africa says, well, I don't have the same steps you got, but I'll try mine too. And the whole universe, my friend, erupts into praise and glory. The whole universe is going to erupt in praise and glory. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father Almighty. And somebody said, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And all over the universe, that great shout goes up. Wonder what it sounds like to hear 10 billion people praising God at once. Wonder what it sounds like. John said, sound like thunder rolling to him. And then he went on down a little bit and said, sound like waterfalls, just tumbling over and over and over again. My brothers and sisters, you don't want to miss this meeting. You won't miss this meeting. You're going to be there. I remember Mahalia Jackson singing. When I was a kid, I really liked Miss Mahalia Jackson singing. Still do. And Marie Cass bought me an album, 33 at an RPM album over in Bluefield, and brought it home because she knew I liked Mahalia so much singing. And I can hear her now singing, they be coming from every nation on their way to the great coronation. My brothers and sisters from the north and the east, from the south and the west, from the high and the low, the rich and the poor. Tennessee Ernie used to sing, the rich and poor, there no second class aboard this train, no difference in the fare. Get on board, little children. Get on board. Brothers and sisters, think about it. Think about it. You're going to be at that meeting, but the question is, where are you going to be at that meeting? Certainly you don't want to be on the side where the goats are. Certainly you don't want to be on the side that's condemned, because at the end of this meeting, my friend, I want to tell you how triumphant this meeting is. At the end of this meeting, there won't be no sinners. They'll be gone. At the end of this meeting, there won't be any evil spirits or evil angels. They'll be gone. At the end of this meeting, there won't be any devil. There won't be any Lucifer anymore. And you say, why? Because he will have been cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. And forever and ever, he will suffer the eternal pains of judgment for what he brought on the human race and what he brought into the universe. And God will cleanse and shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. And John looked out beyond that meeting, and what did he say? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, looked, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her husband. My friend, he looked out and into the darkness and the blackness of the universe. And here it come. Here it come, the bride of Christ. My friend, it was a city four square, coming from a new heaven to a new earth, sparkling like a diamond against the darkness of that. 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high, my friend, and sitting on the apex of it is the Lord of glory. Evil has been destroyed. Root and branch, Satan will never again raise his head. Never again. Oh, my friend, there's going to be a meeting in the air. My friend, there's going to be an end to all of this. No more, no more, no more will I hear my telephone ring and go to the door and find out somebody I loved has died. Never again. Never again. There'll be no telephone calls for death calls. Embalmers will be out of business. Undertakers will be defunct, my friend. And we won't be speaking in tongues. And we won't be prophesying. There's nothing to prophesy about. It's done. It's happened. No need for manifestations of the Spirit, because we have a spiritual body and we'll be living in it. My friend, I'm going to be at that meeting, and I'm going to make it into the city, four square, no matter what. Are you ready? Are you ready? He's coming. I tell you, my friend, he's coming. He's on his way. And this old house of clay, these bars of bones that Dottie Rambo said that hold my soul, are going to burst wide open when the angel set my spirit free. Hallelujah. Would somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right, Father, I come into your presence this morning, and I come thankful, oh, for the greatness of God, for the goodness of God and the wonders of God. And Lord, I know that a million years from now, you'll be showing the outer fringes of the universe your greatness and looking at the sinners that were saved by grace, looking at the sinners that have been redeemed from among men. Lord, I pray that you'll touch our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you'll pull on the heartstrings of men and women and boys and girls who are in this auditorium and those who are listening by radio and by transcription, that the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, will lift these people up, draw us into the love of God, and wrap your big old arms around us and love us as only you can. Father, we'll not fail to praise you, but we'll give you honor and glory in Jesus' precious name. Congregation said amen.